Hi, this is Nicole Brandon with Unlimited Life. We have such a special show for you today, and I'm really honored that Chris from Curious Times is actually co-hosting because our guest today is Ian Wynn with the Superhuman Project. And I know that Curious Times, this is really, you know, right up their alley as far as the why and how we can become superhuman. How does that work? All of this. And so I invited Chris to co-host with me today. And so I'm thrilled to have Chris, thrilled to have Ian. And then let me tell you about today's guest. Ian Wynn is the founder and the CEO of Mythical Media. I have to tell you, I love just the name Mythical Media. The first time I even saw the business card, oh my gosh, why didn't I think of it? It's such a brilliant, brilliant name. And he is the founder of the Superhuman Project, which we're going to be talking about today. Additionally, he has helped create a free virtual university for the merchant services industry called Merchant University. Ian sits on boards of number of startup companies in an advisory role for revenue modeling and marketing. And he knows how to roll your ideas, your thoughts into money. And so we're definitely going to pick his brain on that. He has a variety of marketing development and consultation gigs. He has helped companies generate millions of additional revenue dollars. He's worked with Fortune 500 companies and startup alike. He embraces the life of entrepreneurship, and he really does. And more importantly, the role of constant development, of growth and learning, and how that plays in each of our lives. Ian is sought after for consulting and coaching in order to help businesses grow and to achieve financial results through proven practices in generating revenue and creating engaged customers. Wouldn't it be nice if all of our customers were engaged? More recently, Ian and his team at the Superhuman Project have begun a campaign to eradicate the plague of mediocrity that stymies our world. And when I read that originally, imagine if we didn't live in a mediocre society. Imagine if there wasn't complacency. Imagine if there wasn't just doing something just because we're supposed to do that job or wake up because we're supposed to wake up. But what if literally everything that we did was at a superhuman level? And he even says, you know, because really who the hell wants to be average in this trip? They combine technology and psychology in new learning methodology called accelerated mental processing. It's known as AMP, accelerated mental processing. These tools have been powerful for entrepreneurs, business owners, and top executives alike. They decided to give this technology to the world to fight against mediocrity and to create superhumans. I know we would all love to be a superhuman. I'm so excited today. So he's saying be part of the solution and to join the Superhuman Project, which I'm sure that every single one of us, as soon as the show is over, it's been a race to become part of the Superhuman Project. And so I'd like to welcome Chris from Curious Times, and especially I'd love to welcome today's guest, Ian Wynn, the founder and CEO of Mythical Media and the Superhuman Project. Ian, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Nicole. It's great to be here.
What an amazing idea. I mean, truly, the minute that you said it to me, I was like, but of course, who wouldn't want to do that? So first
that's
tell
cool
us,
thing, right? Like,
yes. So tell us everything. How do you start telling us? I don't even know where to begin with you. It's like throw a dart and every number on the board. I want to know first who you are, how you came up with this. Is it true? Can we be superhuman? All of that.
It is true. Well, again, Nicole, I'm stoked to be here. Thank you so much for having me on your show. And you know, at the end of the day, the coolest part about it, you know, if we're talking about being superhuman, we already are, right? Everybody has within them the full capability to be, do, and have, as that saying is often used, anything and everything that they want, that they want to achieve, that they want to be, that they're looking for in their lives, right? We can use you as an example, or any of the people throughout the world, throughout society, throughout time and space, that have been able to achieve just extraordinary results and or do extraordinary things. So people look at being superhuman as something that's unattainable, and that's not true at all. Right, that the truth is that it's absolutely attainable if you're willing to do what needs to be done.
That's incredible. You know, as you're talking about where I am today, just so our audience knows, I am actually a guest performer today with the Diavolo Dance Company, and Diavolo is the most fearless, extraordinary, exhilarating, death-defying dance company in the world, way, way, way more dangerous. Cirque du Soleil, I was saying, it's like the Flying Melindas over the Grand Canyon, and it literally, you are doing aerials and leaps and flies and blind moves through metal poles, through metal rings, through stairs 25, 30 feet in the air, and that at any given time, you can fly and just yell me and fly from wherever you are, the ceiling, the floors, the walls, and trust that one of the other 25 people somewhere in that room will hear you yell me and there will be someone to catch you. And it doesn't matter how you're flying. And they say, you know, if you want that, you're, it's terrifying and it's really scary. And they said, we want you terrified and scared. We really do. We want to, because that's where you're at, where the excitement happens. That's where the thrill happens. And, but it's the trust to know that you can do it, to know that it is humanly possible. And that's, I mean, so I love what you're doing.
It's the concept that you're talking about, right? You know, that it's the power of now, right? If you've ever read the book by Eckhart Tolle, The Power of Now, it's that concept, right? It's truly living right here, right now, and what that can be and what that can do, and the kind of existence that that creates, right? When your mind is focused on a specific thing, an action, an outcome that you're working on right here, you know, it's like the concept is, you know, there is no fear. There's emergencies, but fear doesn't really exist because your mind has the ability. You're flying through the air, or let me rephrase, you're going to be flying through the air later on. There's not the fear because you know that what needs to be done, and you're so focused on it, right? It's like when you're, you know, the people who run, like firefighters, right? They run into a building. And so we can start to talk about, you know, really what is superhuman, right? Superhuman, I believe, is a mindset. It's a mind state. Right, because your mind controls everything. Well, I'm not strong enough. Well, your mind can go through the process to create the habits. So you work out frequently enough and you take the right kind of supplements and you create the supporting habits that allow you to become strong enough, or, you know, fast enough, or smart enough, or action-oriented enough. You know, that's all driven from your mind. And that's the reality of it, right? You know, or let's look at our, you know, the wounded warriors. Right, you know, the, you know, servicemen who come back and, you know, maybe they've lost an arm, they've lost a leg, right? I think they're superhuman in their own right because they have the mental fortitude to, one, carry on, two, learn how to run, swim, do whatever it is that needs to be done with prosthetics. You know, it's that's a mindset. You could give up or you can keep going. Right? That's kind of the basis, the foundation, the habit of action is the foundation of being superhuman. What do you want, and then what are you willing to do?
Okay, so I have a question with that. So I was looking at your website, and a couple things really caught my eye. One was that the mind is not a muscle, and I really want to ask you about that because it was talking about, like, helping babies learn to walk. You know, it's not your mind that's learning how to walk. And the other was you talk about when you focus, how much more time you have in your life, like time for incredible sex, time for, like, I was reading a list of all these things that you have time for. I mean, and not short sex. You gave the difference between short sex and long sex. But, like, that your mind, that you have so much more time to do all these other things in your life if you focus, if you go to open an email and your mind doesn't go to thousands of other emails or whatever it is that's on that page. So can you talk about both those things? One, the fact that the mind is not a muscle, and the other is when you have focus, how your life can change?
Yeah, let's talk about focus first, right? Focus, when we're talking about that, right, when we're talking about our attention, right, where are you placing your attention? What are you spending your energy, you know, your thought processes, you know, if we really want to start to look at it, we're all the same thing, right? If we look at, you know, quantum physics, you know, we are the same thing. We all came from, from my perspective, from what science says, dying stars, and we're all part of the universe. We're all vibrating at certain levels. So as we're looking at what we focus on, you're spending the time on a specific thing. You're not being distracted, and your mind's able to go deeper, not necessarily wider, right? You know, you have, let's use as an example, actually that was going to be a terrible example. I was going to use a tree root system. That's a better example for something else. But when you focus on something, you're not distracted, right? So we're talking about sex, right? You know, if your phone's ringing, or if you have kids around, or if your mind's on work, you're not able to go deep enough into the emotions and combining your emotions with your mindset to create the experience and the energetic compilation of thoughts that create a memory, right? And so because you're not spending the time to do that, if you have all those distractions, everything's always an expectation of something else. You're always waiting for the next thing to happen, the next whatever, the next email, the next phone call, the next red light or green light. And that goes back to what Eckhart Tolle says. Anything and everything only happens in the now, right? If you look back to all of the memories that you've had or you have, all of the things that you know, whether they're good or bad, every single one of those has happened now. It didn't happen in the future. It didn't happen in the past. They may be, you know, they are in the past, but it's when they were happening now, right? Does that concept, that has to sink in. Because when you really spend the time, the energy, and the focus to what you're saying, when you spend and you give yourself, and here's I think, a critical component that most people don't pay attention to. You have to give yourself the permission. Give yourself the permission to be with it the way that it is and the way that it's not. One step is, I'm going to be really lazy today. I'm going to drink a six-pack of beer and eat an entire pizza. That's a choice you can choose to make, and you're going to have specific outcomes, right? Or you can make the choice that you're going to juice up some kale, some spinach, some carrots, and some apples, which I had this morning, actually, which is fantastic, and going to go run a half a marathon, right? They're different choices, but when you pay attention to it in the now, you're able to go deeper. You're able to think about the things that, let me use this example, right? You know, somebody who studies, and maybe they're a pianist, and they kind of do it from time to time, and so they know how to play chopsticks, and they can make it sound like they know what they're doing on the piano, right? They have some study there. But somebody who's a master, right, the concept of 10,000 hours by Michael Gladwell, when they spend enough time and they focus on it long enough, they become just magicians of that instrument. Think about that in a shorter term, right? When you're able to spend your attention focusing intently on something, whether it's a blade of grass or having sex, think how much deeper you're able to go with all of the components of your body, your mind, you know, everything that you feel. So you're able to go deeper into that, and you're able to experience that more fully as opposed to just on a surface level.
That's when you first said that about the point of focus, the first thing that came to my mind was when they talk about, like, people that lift up cars because there is their child underneath the car or something like that, and all of a sudden they have these superhuman powers. So is it like that? The point of focus is to save the child, and so nothing else matters, and that's where that power and strength comes from?
You know, that's a fantastic question, and I think, you know, to some extent, yeah. Right, because it goes back to there's no fear. There's emergencies, but fear isn't real. It's not a real thing, right? It's they're thoughts, and you can say thoughts are things, but we can choose to accept or deny that. So I'll use myself as an example. When I was younger, I was, really long story short, I was driving my brother's car, and I ended up getting in a pretty bad accident. And I walked away. And I didn't have a scratch on me. I T-boned another truck doing about 55 miles an hour. I didn't have a scratch on me, right? There is the entire steering column of the car was pushed back from where my chest hit it. The steering wheel was tacoed backwards from where my hands were holding it. And there was an impression of my face in the windshield. I didn't have a scratch on me, right? So what happened there, right? That was that my focus of I don't know. It was, you know, from my perspective, it was the ability to create the stasis within my body to survive that event. Right? You know, however that happened, you know, I don't have all the answers, but I love asking the question. And so when we say, well, what actually makes that happen? You know, it could be like that mother who's able to do just insane feats of strength, or people who are able to survive just absolutely horrific circumstances and scenarios. We don't understand our brain, right? We've learned more about our brain in the last 3 years than we've known than we had learned in the previous 3,000 years. Let's really think about that, right, how quickly we're getting more and more information about what we don't know. It's mind-boggling. And I'm going to take a little piece from something that Will Smith said, because I think he's brilliant in this. He said, it was inconceivable. It was impossible for us to get in a metal contraption and fly across the ocean. It was impossible for that to happen until it happened. It's impossible. It was impossible for us to go to the moon until it happened. So nothing is impossible. We just don't know how to do it yet. You know, it goes to the concept that...
Sorry, I just think, too, though, that the one, you know, and it would have still been impossible if, but for those people who failed to recognize that it was impossible and went ahead and did it anyway. And I think that's a similar thing to what happens with the adrenaline rush for the mother that can lift a car, is that she doesn't have time to stop and think, I can't do that. All she there's no time to reach into the brain and remember that programming that there's limits, you know? And so
absolutely.
I don't know, in my mind it's just see, react, do. And there's no time for that, oh, but this is impossible. And so, you know, in that crisis scenario, I think that's part and parcel of what happens.
And you hit it on the head. You said one word. You said doubts. In those circumstances, in those situations, you're not questioning any of your abilities. You're not questioning. You're not giving yourself any of the time or the space to say, well, what if? You're like, no, there is no other option. Then this is going to be the way that it's going to be. I'm going to lift this car off of this person. Or I'm going to, you know, whatever that is. As we continue to understand how the brain works, that's an unlimited opportunity. So when we're talking about superhuman, it's truly unlimited what we're able to do, because we just don't know. When somebody says, to your point, Chris, was, you know, they refused to admit that. They refused to say, well, of course, you know, of course we can't fly. So it's the unreasonable people who create the just amazing leaps forward in who we are as a people, because they're being unreasonable. Yeah. They're not willing to continue on and have the doubts, right? It's not necessarily easy. Most of the times it's not, but it's worth doing.
Indeed.
Amazing. So, Ian, how did you come up with this? I mean, first, where did you come from? What is your background? What is Mythical Media? Who are you? And then do you wake up one day and just go, I have an idea. Everybody should be superhuman. I mean, how did this begin?
You know, my intro was pretty funny. I was listening to you read it, and I was like, well, yeah, I did that. You know, very candidly, you know, I never went to college. I was really bored of it, right? School wasn't my thing. It was easy for me. And so I really didn't enjoy it. So I spent a lot of my time playing video games. And when we look at millennials, and I'm a Vanguard millennial, and when we look at that and we say, we study their brains versus the brains of somebody who's 20 years older than them, right? Their brains are wired differently. And this is important. This is a really important fact. When you start to look at the brain scans of somebody who, let's say, is 15 or 20 versus somebody who's, say, 40, the two hemispheres of their brain are fundamentally wired differently, right? They're more interconnected, and it stems from a single concept. And then I'll answer the rest of the question. It stems from the concept that back in the day, they created games with a certain set of rules, saying you have to get to X destination by following these rules, these routes. You have to walk within these parameters. Video games changed that model. Let's look at Mario Brothers. Mario Brothers fundamentally altered the way that we are able to think. And it stems from, I don't care how you get to point A, from point A to point B. I don't care what you do, just get from point A to point B. And you've solved the problem. So it created the opportunity for both logical and emotional and creative thinking through certain circumstances, right? You have to use logic and creativity to you know, get to the end of a level. Well, what if I do this? And then they started adding in things that were hidden. So it kind of exemplified that even more. So, you know, I played a lot of video games as a kid, So, you know, I was a lifeguard. I played water polo, but I wouldn't work for a company called Blizzard Entertainment, And they're, you know, one of the larger video game publishers in the world. You know, it's Activision Blizzard now. And, you know, I worked there for 5 years on their products, you know, from World of Warcraft to Diablo to StarCraft. And, you know, continue to work in that area where it doesn't matter how you get to where you want to get to, just as long as you get there. And that focuses on the journey, which goes back to the power of now. But, you know, that's we can carry that conversation on. So, you know, I worked in that industry for a while. And then I worked in the porn industry for about a year, helping them improve all of their, you know, payment processes and things of that nature. And in the interim, I consulted with really large companies, helping them do some pretty substantial, you know, business improvements on the payment processing, you know, credit cards and what have you. And I got bored of that. I got bored of driving on, very candidly, I got bored of driving on the 405 for 2 to 3 hours every single day back and forth. And so I quit and said, you know, I can do this better myself. And so I did, and I have.
That's amazing. And then how did you come up with Mythical Media?
You know what? Out of the blue. It wasn't really that way. It wasn't some, you know, long, drawn-out process. And I like alliteration. And, you know, I am a nerd. I've played a lot of video games. I've read a lot of fantasy novels. And, you know, there's something to the concept of mythical. It's unknown. It's the constant striving for, well, what is? It's the asking the right kind of question. You know, because, you know, as Tony Robbins says, I believe, it's the quality of the questions that dictate the quality of your life, something thereof. And so when you look at that, it's mythical, right? It's unknown, it's greater than, and it's exploration. And those are things that I really strive to live by in my life, which is, you know, ask questions, you know, really, you know, be creative, you know, don't take what somebody gives you as the end-all, be-all, right? You know, question. Because if we're not questioning, then we simply become the we become sheep. Or as one of the other people is part of the Superhuman Project says, we become sheeple. And that's Johnny. And it's true. When you look at the media, right? The media is there to make sheeple. You know, because they don't want people to actually think. Because with thought becomes power. Right? When we're able to think for ourselves effectively and efficiently, that becomes power, and that power isn't, you know, like, you know, gigantic metal fist. It's power over yourself and power over your choices, and that's what being superhuman is. And that's what people need. That's what our country needs. That's what our world needs. That's what our evolution as a people, as a species needs. Because when we're able to use the one thing that we know the least about in the most effective way possible, we are truly superhuman. We're truly unlimited. We just don't understand it all yet.
That's incredible, Chris. I'm thinking about you and the video games and the super brain over there.
The question too that I had, like, there's a lot of things. And with my little brain injury, I'd be all over the. I'm bad at jumping around from stuff, but I would wonder, you know, back to the comment about the brain scan of a 15-year-old today versus a 40-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, fair enough, but I'd be more interested in looking at a brain scan of a 15-year-old in the year 2013 versus the brain of a brain scan of a 15-year-old in 1980. And then compare the differences there.
You know, that's great. And I'm sure, you know, that's actually, I'll make a note of that, because that's a great concept, is, you know, really what has changed as quickly
right.
as it has. Because
I think that no matter what era you would go into, like, because our brains, everything about us probably is changing, you know what I mean? Like, as we age and everything like that, I would be really... Because the experiences these days are so different. And so even a 40-year-old is still experiencing, you know what I mean, still experiencing what the 15-year-old is, although we're looking through different eyes while experiencing that. But, you know, there's stuff that we're seeing now in 2013 that we couldn't imagine back in the 80s, you know, kind of thing.
Absolutely.
And so,
we're living in a sci-fi time, right? When you look at it, like, I'm on my cell phone right now. We all have, if you have a smartphone, the sum of human knowledge in your pocket and in your hand. You have the ability to essentially be anywhere and everywhere through a phone call or through pictures or voice chat or, you know, anything. It's we are truly living in the future, and that's only going to continue to speed up. And, you know, we're living at the point in time where anything is truly possible as long as we allow ourselves to be creative, right? So when you're talking about, you know, the brain scan of somebody who was, let's say, 15 in 1980 versus the brain scan of somebody who's 15 in 2013, I would wager, and this is just a guess, you know, that there's more connectedness, and, uh-huh. and I'm going to say less focus, less ability to focus for somebody in today's, you know, today's 15-year-old versus somebody in the 80s. And right. it's interesting to see what technology has done to us as a society, right? You know, and uh-huh. it's for the good and the bad.
The good and the bad, exactly.
Yeah, because there's some negatives that come with it. You know, I was out to dinner the other night with one of the other founders of the Superhuman Project, Joe Holmes, and we're sitting there, and I look across, and it's mind-boggling. You have a group, a family of four, and every single one of them has their heads down looking at their phone.
Right.
And
you know, I said a thing a number of years back when I was working at a college, and, you know, everybody's running around, all stooped over, walking or sitting. And I said, you know, I talked about, you know, the evolution of man, you know, from on all fours and then slowly standing up straight. And I was just like, we're going backwards now, you know what I mean? And, like, I'm pretty sure babies are going to start to come out of the womb with their neck bent down, you know what I mean? Like, and... you know, so to that extent, yeah. And people are, in some ways, not all people, but it allows for some laziness as well. You know, like sometimes kids these days or something might not even be able, like if all the power went out, you know what I mean, and you actually had to figure out a mathematical problem on your own, you know, or, you know, these kind of things. And, you know, could you use a pencil and a piece of paper and sort it out, you know, and that kind of thing.
Let's make it a little bit more realistic, right? Something that we all deal with nearly every day. I travel all the time. What would happen if your GPS went out on your phone? Would you know how to use a map? Right? Most people would have no idea. So, you know, it's moving further and further away from the analog and, you know, more fully, you know, 2 feet, hands, waist, head, in the technology, we lose some of the fundamentals is what I would say. And I think the fundamentals of, you know, not saying let's focus on it and step backwards by no means, but let's look at the future, right? And how can we still have the knowledge, but not be so completely as a person dependent on the technology. Do you know how to cook? Do you know how to start a fire? Right? You know,
I've gone through that. I mean, as far as my phone went out, and it was Easter, and I couldn't even call my family to, like, wish them a happy Easter because I didn't know people's phone numbers because they were all on my phone.
Yeah,
you know, and I'm calling Verizon saying, can you help me wish my family a happy Easter? And they're like, what? Darling, we don't know how to.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I'm grateful in some ways that, like, I still have a stupid phone, you know what I mean? Like, I limit my reliance on technology. Now, I do admit, like, I spend a lot of time online and I have a lot of connectivity to people all around the world, because thankfully to that. But, you know, I would still be able to sort out a lot of problems on my own, you know, if I didn't have that. And, mm-hmm. you know, and so I haven't gone full in. I don't text, you know what I mean? Like, I don't text. I think my phone has the ability to, but I'm not willing to pay for it. and you know what I mean? Like, I've never accessed a website from my telephone. You know what I mean? And like those kinds of things.
This goes back to the core concept from my perspective of what being superhuman is, right? And you know, the vision for this business, the vision for the society, for the world, is not being held hostage, not being held prisoner, not being, you know, being in control and being in power for your own life. You know, I have a friend who said something, and he said, you have to custom order your life. We were at IHOP, and it's really funny that this has stuck with me so long. And I'm like, well, I want those pancakes with that food. And he said, well, custom order it, right? You're going to pay for it. Just go get it. It's just like your life. It's with, like, your business. And we are all in business. You know, if you don't think that, you're kidding yourself. You're all in business because you're the business of whoever you are. But the concept is really go out and get it, right? Being superhuman doesn't necessarily mean that you are able to bench press, a Volkswagen. No, being superhuman is taking control of who you are and owning the outcome for your life, right? So what we do is we provide people the tools, the resources to think differently, because very candidly, the media, I don't want to stand on a soapbox here, but, the education system is fundamentally flawed. Because, when we talk about the brain, when we talk about the brain of and the usage of technology to the young people in today's world, they're not being educated in the way that they need to be educated. They're using a system that's over a century old to people who learn fundamentally differently. So part of what we've just started to touch the surface on, right, and we're just starting to see what this could be, is educating at the speed of the mind. Right? Mm-hmm. Let's let the brain, the mind, absorb the information in the way that it's able to absorb it. Let's not put barriers in front of it, with some person standing in front of a room on a chalkboard. And then let's start to educate what they really need, what people really need, not just our youth, but people all around the world, especially, the people who are looking for something.
There was a thing I learned about a little while, well, not a little while, it's like 20 years ago, okay, whatever.
That's
anyway,
a little while ago.
time is just flying, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, and so, but it's this thing about elephants, okay, so like elephants that are held captive, and they get, when they're babies, they get tied to a post, right? And then they learn and they're conditioned that they can only get so far away from the post, and then they're stopped. And so they stop trying. And then you can take the chain off them and they still won't go further than their previous limitations were. And I think that that's what happens. And it's happened all throughout time, I think, and it still does in some ways, is that, we have a society that looks down upon people who question why. Why can't I do this? Or why can't I? Why does it have to be that way when it could all, we could get, like you said earlier, Ian, that's what's made it hard for some bosses to have me as an employee, is because they go, well, and it has to be done this way. And I go, well, wait, why? Like, why couldn't I just, and then they look at me and they go, oh, you know what I mean? But if I have a boss that is very rigid, then they just say, because. You know what I mean? And so we never find another newer, easier, better way to do something, because they get all regulated in that very narrow way of doing it. And
absolutely.
And so there's no creative. So people look down upon, like, we're troublemakers, or we're trying to buck the system, or we're resistant to authority. And, like, so then that gets beaten into your brain, be a conformist. And like, I'm glad that this world isn't entirely full of conformists.
Well, the only thing, innovation, growth, and expansion only happens, whether it's of your consciousness or whether it's of a technology or whatever it may be, that only happens by people who are willing to ask different questions, who are willing to do something different. I have a friend, his name's David Corbin, and he has a saying that I love, and I repeat it to myself consistently, because it talks about the concept of growth and death, and it's either you're green and growing, or you're ripe and rotting, right? So you're green and growing. There's always something to learn, always something to be, always something to find out, to figure out, ask the question, what if, versus, I know it all. This is how it's been done, because it's always been done this way. So that means that's the only way it can be done, which is not true. So are you going to be, as soon as you start that process, you start to die, right? And it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter, what you look like, what your background is. It doesn't matter, because when you make a choice and you're willing to stick to that choice and say, this is what I want, and you take actions in line with that, you know, that mm-hmm. sets things up. You start the ball rolling in a space where you can start to grow, right? You know, maybe mm-hmm. you've been sedentary for the past 2 decades. That doesn't mean you have to always be that way. It means you should actually probably change. You know, there's something to it.
So when you're talking about changing, so the Superhuman Project, if I go online and I join the Superhuman Project and I contact you, then you would give me the tools to help me focus and to be able to expand my mind and consciousness to become that superhuman, to be
what
able
we
to...
do. Yeah, in some ways, right? You know, that's a tall order that you just laid out there, Nicole. Expand your consciousness.
You should hear me order in a restaurant. No, wait.
But the answer is yes. And the answer is we've just begun, right? You know, we started this business a number of months ago, and you know, we brought together a group of people who asked the same kind of questions. We have these kind of conversations sitting around a bottle of wine or a couple Jack and Cokes and say, you know, really, what can we do? Because the world needs something different. And you know, from a marketing perspective, you know, everybody, who doesn't want to be superhuman, right? Who doesn't want to, you know, wear a red cape or you know, be Wonder Woman or, you know, actually affect and change and build and create positivity. So people can go online, you know, they can read the content that we put out. We're going to start doing actually video series and just help, you know, create the mindset, the foundation of thinking that people can use to become more if that's what they choose to do, right? You know, there's a lot of people who are happy with where they're at, and that's simply because they're comfortable. And you know, I have a lot of people who don't agree with this, but comfort is the number one killer of innovation. It's the number
yeah.
one killer of everything because it's uncomfortable, right? So maybe you make a good living, maybe you have your 2.5, but what else could you be doing, right? You get one shot at this. What else could you be doing to create better experiences for those other people around you, create better experiences for your wife, your children, or your husband and your children, or, you know, maybe family members, or somebody that you've never seen before. You know, we have the opportunity as people to walk through this world and leave ripples in good or bad ways. You can live your life either as an example or as a warning, right? You know, I love all these hooks. I have in front of my office just a wall of hooks. That one's from another friend of mine. His name is Mel. And, you know, when we look at that, it's so true. Right, we have the choice to do this, and most people, you know, they're and I'm going to say they're mediocre. They're below mediocre because they don't even know that they can do something different. Right? Step one is, well, what if? Like, could I do this? Well, yeah, obviously you could, and then you start to ask the questions. But so many people are brainwashed into thinking that their station in life is only ever going to be their station in life, which is not true at all.
That's
right.
Amazing. You know, when you talk about this. Now, you were saying to us just before the call, you know, we had a few brief moments to talk with you, and you were saying that you're using yourself as an example, that you're actually putting yourself into the Superhuman Project program. Could you talk about that?
Yeah. So everybody on the team goes through our programs, right? So Joe Holmes is actually the creator of AMP, Accelerated Mental Processing. He's created it, and that's where when I talk about, you know, educating at the speed of your mind, that's what we do. And he created that to bypass the pieces where, Chris, you had said, it bypasses your doubts. It bypasses the thing that makes you say, well, maybe not, right? Mm-hmm. And it bypasses that to say, well, your unconscious mind, right, if that's what we're talking about, which is what we are, that is the piece where the learning happens in just huge volumes. And I'll tell one quick stat is your conscious mind can only, you know, track, you know, less than 10 things at any one given time. Your unconscious mind tracks billions and billions and billions simultaneously. So why would we try to educate something that's limited, and why don't we try to educate something, or why don't we use the processes to educate the components that are truly unlimited within our mindset? So everybody on the team is absolutely superhuman in their own rights. We're a great group of people, and we've come together as, you know, to create the Superhuman Project, and we're constantly looking to grow. We're actually right now creating a team of superhumans, and, you know, with each of their own unique abilities. But for me, I happen to be single. I don't have any kids. And so I push myself in a way that most people wouldn't understand. I'm training for a marathon. I'm writing a book. And I run multiple companies all at the same time. But to do that, well, what else can I do? Right? What else can I do to enhance my cognitive capabilities? Because when I think I can, you know, lo and behold, it happens. If I'm gonna go do 50 push-ups and I think I can only do 45, I only get to 45. It's wild. I've done tests on myself. However, when I think I can do 65, I can do 65. You know, and so when we look at that, it's that concept. You create the mental picture. You know, you create future realities, if you will, as you're doing something, and those realities are much more likely to come to existence. You know, it's the law of attraction or whatever you want to call it. There's some reality there, but there's also the kind of the base concept of you got to get off your ass, right? So, oh, I'm going to create this vision board, and it's going to be amazing, and I'm going to do all these things. That's fantastic, right? You're going to have a nice collage in front of you. But at the end of the day, if you don't get off your ass and go do something, then it's not going to do anything, you know? But I do a lot of other things, right? You know, I take a lot of supplements, you know, to see, you know, what and how I can ramp my brain up. I play with sleep deprivation. To see what and how that impacts me, right? You know, if you've never heard of nor read any of Tim Ferriss's work, whether it's the 4-Hour Workweek, the 4-Hour Body, the 4-Hour Chef, he talks about the experiment, and there's just it's absolutely wild. But when we allow ourselves the opportunity to think outside of the confines that we've had placed on us, the shackles that society has put around our leg like that little elephant, right? When we're able to look at that shackle and say, well, it's just a piece of wood in the ground and I'm a 4-ton elephant, like, it's done, right? I mean, that's the reality of it. It's that simple. But people don't want to ask the questions because they're too busy being comfortable. So, I mean, I do test on myself. I'm currently doing another one with something called nootropics. Are you familiar with that term at all?
No, teach me. I'd love to learn. That's a great word.
So basically, in my layman terms, right, I'm not a doctor, by the way. So I could toss out a lot of disclaimers right now. So I'm not a doctor, right? I'm just somebody who's really curious. And so, you know, I put a bunch of different, like, herbs and things of that nature in my body in crazy quantities to see what happens. You know, what happens to my body, what happens to my sleep patterns, what happens to my ability to think. Because very candidly, I get paid for my ability to think. I'm not a doer, I'm a thinker. I have teams within my business of people that do the other stuff. And so I have to, you know, I have to perform mentally at a certain level. So now what happens if I'm able to ratchet that up? So nootropics are pills and supplements that people take, and there's a lot of them. It's not anything new that helps support brain function. There's a number of chemicals, all of them off the top of my head, I do not know, that help promote, you know, faster thinking, clearer thinking, focused thinking, the ability to, you know, more effectively have a conversation between the two different hemispheres of your brain. And so there's chemicals that help that take place. And that's what nootropics help with. You know, it's everything from, you know, high-level chemicals to, you know, roots and herbs. So I'm on my second set right now, and I've been taking it now for 8 days, this second set, and I love the results. I'm able to get more done with a lot less effort is kind of the reality that I've experienced. And I think more clearly. I have more interesting dreams. I'm able to more effectively create my realities. I guess I can put it that way.
I love that. Wow. So, I love when you say you're curious, because Chris here has curious times. So,
well, they call me curious and my show is Curious Times, and my screen name was Curious Listener, and then I became a curious talker, I guess. But I wanted to back up real quick and just ask. Pick your well-advanced brain or your multi-whatever, anyway. And, you know, when we're talking about, have you ever heard of this, your set goal setting, and then you use the SMART principle? Have you heard of that one?
Yes,
so that your goals, yes, you have? Okay.
SMART, measurable, actionable,
Achievable. Well, I guess, and there's different ones, but so I'm looking at achievable and realistic as the A and the R. And so it's so now I'm curious to know, like, what your where does reasonable begin and end with you, you know, or achievable begin and end with you?
Oh, that's a great question, and that's dangerous because I'm going to say I'm not like everybody. It's a challenge. I strive to be, I work to be unreasonable. I'm not the easiest person to be around all the time, to be completely candid, because I am that. I'm consistently looking and to say, well, what? Why didn't I do this? What couldn't I have done more? I'm the opposite of comfortable.
Yeah.
I'm never happy enough, and so it's a blessing and a curse, right, in that space. And, you know, there's times I have to meditate. I meditate, 30 minutes at least a day to create the foundation of, being in the now and paying attention to where we're at right here and right now. But when we're talking about goal setting, there's a lot of different schools of thought. I can talk to the ones that have worked for my clients, the people who I've consulted with, the people who I've coached personally, and I can talk to the ones that have worked for me, because I think everything works for people at different stages. So what's worked for me is, at certain times, it has absolutely been something that I believe I can attain. You have to create the foundation of success to be able to have more successes. Because if I say, hey, I'm going to go make $10 million, I'm going to go buy this $2.5 million home, I'm going to invest the rest, and I'm going to give money away here, you may not be able to believe that that's a reality that you can create. And because you don't believe that that's a reality you can create,
right,
you're not going to take the right kind of steps. So it's unrealistic so far, because you don't even believe you can do it, right? Like the Wright brothers,
right,
it was unrealistic, but they believed. They didn't know. They
didn't
believe.
Right.
They knew. They knew that they could do it. So at some point, right, as you're getting started, it's, well, step one is I got to do something I think I can do. I'm going to walk for 20 minutes one time a week. Maybe that's what you do. Maybe that's where you start. I see people all the time, sitting and being sedentary, eating terrible food, and you know what? That their existence may not change, but then I see people who are out there doing it, right? They are in pain. They're hating their life. But you know, when they get home, when they get done, they are so proud of themselves because they did it. And it's never the things you – and here, this is what it comes down to. It's never the things that you do that you regret. It's never that. At the end of the day, it's the things that you never did that you're going to regret the most. Yeah, maybe you shouldn't have done that one action, right? There's certain things that you can regret, but more often than not, it's really the things, the decisions that you said no to versus yes. Mm-hmm. So when you're...
So the answer, obviously then when you're coaching people, then that what's achievable or realistic is a sliding scale, and that you're right. The first thing that is... Yeah, and the first thing that is in the way, you're a lot like me, except, like, for example, using a video game as an example, you wrap a game or something, or you wrap a level or whatever, and now you're pretty sure your next goal is to do it quicker, or to get more points in that level or whatever. And so if you're like me, then, you're most competitive with yourself. And always, if you did six, this time you got to do seven next time, or you got to do six in less time. And that's sort of the situation. So how do you, how do you start to get the people that are locked in all the, before my, ever since, say, I was in my young 20s, I've had, a really awful situation with my spine, and it was degenerated to the level of a 65 or 70 year old. And, and so people, now I see the difference. When I was younger, I can't vacuum, or I can't, and then I realize, like, even while I'm saying, I'm still doing it, because so a lot of people easily say can't, and so you got to get past saying can't, especially for the stuff that you can do. And so I try to limit, the use of the word can't. And now again, I am aging, and so so there's is, you know, there is some of that stuff that's, you know, I can't move the fridge so much anymore, you know what I mean, and that kind
so
of thing, but
I get
and
that
it's
completely.
Also, yes, and it's, I'm sorry for jumping in, it's also distinguishing the difference, like if you stub your toe, you know,
yeah.
It's great to say it hurts, but I'm not hurt. My foot's not broken, whatever that is,
yeah.
You know, yes, it hurts in the moment, but I can override that. Because I know
that's
I'm
right.
Not hurt. I can absolutely override that.
Nicole, right, you've danced, you've done more things than nearly anybody else I've ever spoken to. And so you can talk to that specifically, whether it's a physical, I mean, you're an amazing person. Right? You can speak to that both on a physical level as well as a mental level, right? Because you've done that.
Yes. Yes.
Right. So how, you know, so when you've been, you know, whether it's dancing or in pain, how have you come back from that?
Well, I mean, first of all, you know, as you were talking about at the top of the show, I never had those barriers. I'm a contortionist, and so my body has absolutely no limitation, but I didn't know the rest of the world didn't do it. I saw Aga Corbett on TV. She was a contortionist, and I thought, oh, that's cool. And I saw a balance beam in a basketball court, and I got up on the balance beam, and I did exactly what I saw on TV, her Olympic routine. I didn't know you needed to be trained. I didn't know you needed mats. I just did the aerials and the contortion stuff on the balance beam. When I wanted to ski, I took the ski lift up to the top of the Black Diamond Run and I followed someone down and did what they did. And I did that a couple times and one of the ski instructors asked if he could ride out with me. And I said, yes. And he said, I was watching you ski. You're really quite good. How long have you been skiing? And I said, about 2 hours. And he said, no. He said, I mean, not today. I mean, how long have you been skiing? And I went, oh, today's my first day. And he said, that's impossible. But I didn't know you can't do that. I just went up and followed someone down. You know, I climbed on a horse in a stable, and I unleashed the little gate and just started to ride the horse. I didn't know you needed a saddle or you needed it. I just wanted to ride the horse. So it's like, so nobody told me I couldn't do those things.
Mm-hmm.
And so anytime I would get hurt, I would think, well, I have a body that can't be broken. You know, even though I broke every bone in my body, or if you know my story, you know, whatever, put my body back together again. But it's like, how can a body has memory, and I had these incredible memories of doing incredible things, and I know that the body has no limitation, as the mind has no limitation. And so from that concept, then I said, well, if the body has no limitation, then like you're saying, what else is possible? What else can I do to not, you know, hurt and jump up and down my living room when I stub my toe, or what else could I do, you know, to not feel this right now and right.
And so what you did intuitively is what I had to learn, right? You know, I didn't really believe I had many limitations when I was a kid, so I've done some pretty amazingly stupid things. Less successful than you is what I would say. But at the end of the day, it's all about the question. Because, again, when we talk about the mind is truly unlimited. And when we ask it the right kind of questions, maybe it's not going to, you know, people are so, we go back to technology, people are so now-focused. They want the results now. They want it yesterday. And so that's because of what technology has given us. But when you ask yourself the right kind of questions and you say, well, I can't move that fridge, you're not going to move the fridge. But when you say, well, how can I move that fridge? Maybe that's not you moving the fridge. Maybe your mind says, well, Joe's down the hallway. Go buy him a six-pack of beer and have him move your fridge. Guess what? Lo and behold, your fridge was moved, but you didn't physically do it. Right? So it's being willing to allow your mind the creative space to answer the questions that you ask it, which stems from the questions that you ask it. You have to actually ask it something for it to give you an answer, right? As opposed to saying, I can't. That's not a question.
So true. That's so true, Ian. I have a huge armoire that I had in a bedroom. I moved into a house and it was left there, this huge antique armoire. And the room always looked crowded to me. It just always looked crowded. And one night at like 2:00 in the morning, I got up and decided, I wonder what this would look like if it wasn't in here and it was in the living room. And of course I went to move it and it was like a cartoon. You know, I was trying to budget and of course it didn't even move a little bit. And I did the same thing. You know, well, how could I move this? What could I do at 2:30 in the morning? And I went all around my house and I found a pair of bedroom slippers from the hotels that they leave you in the little plastic things.
you know, and so the bedroom slippers still had the little plastic wrapped around them. And I found a couple pairs of bedroom slippers, and I went, I tied sheets behind the bedroom slippers, and I was able to slide the little plastic containers with the bedroom slippers underneath, and I pulled the sheet, and I pulled the whole armoire out of the room into the living room. And the next day, I had a bunch of people came to my house and said, oh my gosh, when did you move that? And they said, you know, in the middle of the night, and they said, well, somebody was here last night. I said, no. And they were like, how is that possible? But in my mind, I had this little idea that the bedroom slippers and the plastic would be slippery enough, and if I tied sheets, that I could slide this myself, you know, even though it seemed impossible. So I see, so your brain can do that. What else is possible? How else could I do this if this is what I want to do?
It's not that it can. It's that it does. It does all of the positive and all of the negative in this at the same time. Right, it goes back to the concept that we just don't yet know. That's what the Superhuman Project's about. It's about the exploration. It's about the curiosity. Well, what if? And well, how can we? Right? We just ask interesting questions, and we see what the results are. Right? You know, so we have products
right.
that we've created to provide people the opportunity to think outside of where they've always thought. Right, to create the space that, well, maybe it's not what it was. Maybe it can be this because it's been something else in the past. That's all we do, and that's, you know, if there's anything that I, you know, if I'm to leave a legacy, I would love to be known for that. I would love to be known for opening people's minds, to providing them different perspectives and giving them an opportunity to create something that I couldn't even imagine.
I always say on my show, like, I wonder a lot. I wonder if, and then all of a sudden, kaboom, I've solved something that nobody else could figure out, or I've, and I don't know how that comes, but I just sit here and go, oh, I wonder if, and then go boom, 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 and then, well, what do you know, it worked, you know what I mean, and that's sort of like that Mario Brothers game or whatever, you know what I mean, like, people would start before the cheat guides came out. People would just be bouncing around, fooling around as they ran their little guy along. And lo and behold, they hit the jump button, and what's this? It bashes into some invisible block that was there. Well, who would have thunk that, right? And
exactly.
But you don't know unless you try. So I just wonder. I wonder, and then I act on that wondering quite frequently.
And that's where so many people just get stymied. It's a sad truth because people say you can't. They have other people telling them that they can't. They have other people saying that you're not good enough. They, you know, and that is simply a reflection of themselves because they don't believe that they're good enough. And if you're good enough, then that makes them feel even worse, right? You know, none of that stuff's new. Right, that's been the circumstance in the case for years, and we've known that. And it's just get a better group of people to surround yourself with. Number one, we support you even with your crazy ideas. So it's an interesting experience when you allow yourself to be that, and to be more than. Again, it goes to permission. We have to, before we get permission from anybody else, we have to give ourselves permission. So I would say, whoever is listening, give yourself permission to be as amazing as you think you could be. Give yourself permission, then ask your mind. Just ask the question, how can I be more amazing? And maybe it won't be today, maybe it won't be tomorrow, but continue to ask yourself that question and see what happens.
I love it. And Ian, how does someone find you? How do they find the Superhuman Project? How do they become part of it? How do they get involved? How do they get like you to be able to figure out the supplements to work with you, whether it be on the Superhuman Project or even, you know, I know that you have such an incredible track record and such an incredible mind of improving people's business and lives and all of that. And so I would love you just to share with us how we find you.
Yeah, so we have a website. You can go check it out. You know, the website is thesuperhumanproject.com. So pretty simple, thesuperhumanproject.com. If you want to email me, you can email me directly. My email address is Ian, which is IAN, and it's at thesuperhumanproject.com. So you can shoot me an email if you have any questions specifically. You know, and so I think that would be the best place to start. Check out our website. You can contact us directly through our website. You can sign up, get our free video series all about how to achieve more. It really helps create, you know, a lot of the mental foundations. And I look at our mental foundations as a pyramid. And if so, if we're looking at the pyramids of Giza or Gaza, however you choose to say it, you have to create the foundation to continue to build on. If you're building on a foundation of wet sand, it's not going to be as solid, right? And so the achievement product, which we give away for free if you go and sign up, and it's at thesuperhumanproject.com, and all that is the ability to slow your mind down so you can think more clearly. So your unconscious mind can think more clearly. Because I would challenge anybody, unless you're an active in meditation, that you sit down, you close your eyes, your brain never stops. You know, even when I meditate, it doesn't stop. You have to get it to the point where it's the internal chatter's not going. And so we help with that in an active way, related to achieving more wealth, but whether that's in your life, your business, or your career.
That's great. Oh, so exciting. That's so exciting. And I wanted to ask you, too, just, you know, if we're backtracking for just a second, about the brain not being a muscle. Because doing what I do, you know, I look at every part of my body and my life as a muscle. You know, what muscle I'm going to move now and what's different if I move, you know, my knuckle instead of my finger or my wrist instead of my elbow and, you know, how can I change something in motion and give it more power or give it more surge or give it more elegance or give it more meaning or more intentionality. And so, you know, when I was looking at how people learn how to walk, can you share that? Because I was so intrigued by that section of the website.
So, you know, simply put, the mind is a set of thoughts. It's a set of processes, right? And so when we're talking about the mind is not a muscle, you know, I would say that as you create belief, you can create the belief that more things are more easy to accomplish, you know. But at the end of the day, it's simply a set of habits, right? Your brain stores your habits, and when we're talking about the brain not being a muscle, it's really about the fact that one habit can override another habit, right? It's not that it goes away. It's just that you have a more supporting habit. So that's really kind of the core of what we're talking about. And so when you create, and I'll use myself as an example, and I'll use a very real-world example, a real-time, real-life example. I love drinking beer. I love beer. However, I'm training for a marathon. And drinking beer, especially drinking beer frequently, and training for a marathon, often don't go very well together, if you are wondering. And so what I realize is, you know, it's not that I want to stop drinking beer. It's I want to create a more healthy habit, right? I want to create a more supportive habit for the completion of that event. And so it's not that I'm going to stop. It's that I'm going to create something new, right? So the mind has an unlimited ability to create new, right? It can create the habit. It can create the development of muscle. But it's so much more than what a muscle is. And so that's why we don't want to compare the two, because a habit means I actually get up and get down, or a habit is that I'm not going to go out to eat, I'm not going to go have a couple beers, I'm going to, you know, juice more or make something that's more supportive of my end goals, and I just create a new habit because I associate that habit, I create the future reality for myself that I am already cooking more at home and I'm already accomplishing that event in the next 3 or 4 months, and I'm doing it in a way that's healthy and supportive of everything that I am.
An excellent answer. Yes, oh, that makes so much sense.
And it really is. Our habits are our processes, right? Every and the example that I like to give, right? You know, if whether you're a smoker or you're a triathlete or, you know, whatever it is, you have something that you've done time and time again. And I'll use, this is the example that I use the most often. How many times have you gotten in your car and driven to work and had no idea how you got to work? You didn't even realize that you were driving for most of it because, well, you just didn't realize it. I'm sure that's happened to you, has it?
Yep.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
So that's a habit, right? Because you're doing the same thing. You probably put your shoes on the same way every day. You probably brush your teeth in the same way every day. Those are unconscious habits that you're not even paying attention to, And anything that you do, you can create those. That's the coolest part about who we are. We can consciously create habits. And our habits are thought processes. They're neural pathways in our mind. And the longer, this is science, the longer you have a specific thought process, the more a specific neural pathway, certain neurons are connected to each other. The more that's used, the bigger it gets. It's like the Grand Canyon, right? That little stream, the Colorado River, it's a river, it didn't happen overnight. The Grand Canyon didn't happen overnight. Think of your thought processes or a specific habit that you have that you enjoy or you have that you don't like, and look at it as a river. The ones that, you know, that are really ingrained, they've been there for a while. And because they've been there for a while, it's like the Grand Canyon. It's created a deep groove, a pathway in your mind that your thoughts easily run down because it's used to it, because it's deep, it's wide, and it's been there. And it's a lot easier for the water to go down into the Grand Canyon and run along that pathway because it's been doing it for so long, as opposed to going perpendicular to the Grand Canyon. So that those are habits. That's an interesting way to look at what your habits are, whether it's smoking or working out or waking up early or going to bed late. Those are just simply habits.
Yeah, and sort of like, again, just to close off, and I guess Nicole has left us. She had to dash off, so it's just you and I now.
Right?
Yeah, now the boss is away, and so let's drink beer.
All right.
But unless you could just enter a beer drinking marathon, in which case, but anyways, but just to finish off this brain is not a muscle kind of a thing, is also, yeah, this idea that, like, why it's not a muscle. For a muscle to, you have to keep working your muscle to keep that muscle from deteriorating, right? But there's
mm-hmm.
things like that are so known to us, like once we learn 2 + 2 = 4, it's always going to be 2 + 2 = 4. We don't have to keep reminding ourselves every day that 2 + 2 = 4. It becomes knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's just there. We don't have to practice that anymore, right?
It becomes what it is, yeah.
Right. So the part that I'm more interested in is because everybody's not like you, believing that they can go conquer the world and knowing. I know a guy that he really gets down on me for, or anyone actually, who says, you know, believe. You don't believe nothing. You either know or you do not know. You know what I mean? And so, you know, like you... You are more limitless than many people, let's say it that way. But there's a lot of sheeple, let's use that word again, that are out there that they've been pre-programmed like this. They're the Grand Canyon of all of their limits, you know what I mean? And so now how do you start through your program to break this down for them so that they can move from a place of I can't into I'm gonna go do that.
You know, I guess the first thing I'll say because this is important is, you know, the reality is I'm not that different. I'm really not, right? My brain is a brain just like your brain, right? Unless you have some serious, you know, mental defects or, you know, problems, you know, in a physical way mentally, I'm no different. I just have different neural pathways, right? You know, that's all it is. I happen to have the foundation, spent the time, been given the opportunity to build the foundation. So I'm really no different than anybody who's listening or yourself or 99.9% of the population in the world. You know, from a mental perspective, I'm not that different. I've been given opportunities. But when we look at, well, how do we start? I would say the first thing that you start with is giving yourself permission. And then what we do is we go through, we help support you. You know, we support you mentally within the programs that we do, whether you're working with us one-on-one, which we take a handful of clients on, or you're working through our program, or you're just asking questions or engaging with us on Facebook. You know, it's we support everybody. because everybody has a gift. And, you know, through the accelerated mental processing or the AMP process that we've created, it provides the unconscious support. And that's maybe a challenge for a lot of people to really wrap their heads around. But that's how the program works. It's the ability for it to support you. Let me rephrase. It's the ability for your unconscious mind to support you while you're not consciously aware of it.
Right.
Much like when you're sleeping or breathing. And I'll use breathing as an example. You're breathing right now. You're not consciously paying attention to, well, I got to breathe in, I got to breathe out, I got to breathe in. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, hold crap, I got to blink. I was forgetting I got to blink. Oh, wait, I got to breathe again. Right. Those
That's
are all
right.
unconscious processes. And so what we do through the accelerated mental processing system with the very first program we put out is we help build the unconscious support system for your mind to begin allowing you to achieve the things that you want to achieve. So we start with the foundation in creating a mental support structure with a variety of tools and resources that allows you to have those goals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, so and how you guys have been open a few months, you said?
Yeah, well, I mean, we started the business, 6 months ago or something along those lines.
Okay.
We launched our website, so you can go check it out on our website. We've been live for, I want to say 6 months. And we've listened to the people, right? We listen to our audience. We listen to the people who we talk to, and we ask them questions because, we want to know what the world wants, right? Because I may be able to create a world-class widget, but if nobody wants it, then it doesn't really matter, right?
Right.
So
Absolutely,
we listen to what people want. We've proven it within the marketplace. Right, we've had people start whole new businesses, turn out the things that they don't want in their life, and make a lot more money, whether it's through business or whatever, within months. Not saying that that's going to be everybody's outcome because it might not be what you want, but the results so far have spoken for themselves.
Right. So I was just looking at, and maybe we could spend a little bit of time as we wind down, and we'll leave the last few minutes to give your contact info out again for people to contact you. But I'm looking at your superhuman oath right now.
Okay.
And so that's a good place for some people to start to look at their own. I mean, some of the stuff like no whining, like that sometimes, smack someone in the face. But if they can sit with that and challenge themselves to go, am I doing this? Am I not doing this? And am I willing to stop doing this if I understand that that's a barrier to me becoming superhuman?
Well, it's all of the things we've talked about. I can see where some people would be, almost feel like overwhelmed. Well, I have to do this. I have to do this. Well, I got to be like this. That's not the case, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everything starts with one step at a time.
Right.
So if all you do, if all you get, whether it's from a conversation with me, with Nicole, or with yourself, Chris, or if there's one thing that somebody can walk away from, is give yourself a break and allow yourself the opportunity to be more. Acknowledge yourself for, maybe you screwed up a ton in the past, but you know what? That's no longer real. Right? Your past doesn't really physically exist. So allow yourself to get beyond that, to think outside of, well, I've only ever done this, because that's not who you are. And so when you start to look at this and you say, well, no whining, your whining is primarily a compilation of the things that, well, I'm not going to have this, or I did this in the past. There's really no problems right now. If you focus right now, and that's all you focus on, there's really no problems.
As long as you're breathing and not bleeding to death, right, yeah.
Yeah, there might be emergencies, right? There might be a car crash, a fire, any volume of things. But there's not really any problems.
Yeah.
If it's raining, it's raining. If it's hailing, it's hailing. If you're driving, you're driving. If there's traffic, well, guess what? There's traffic. If you're late, well, you're not late now. You'll be late in the future, but you're not late now.
Right. So I was looking at this one, suffering is a divided mind.
Yes.
That's
and
good.
That goes to the concept, right? It really is. It's saying that what I have now is not what I deserve. Mm-hmm. And deserve is a nasty word. And so when you look at that and when you listen to it and you allow that to be, it's saying that, well, I don't have this and I want this and I deserve this, as opposed to, this is something I really want. Well, so I'm in pain here and I really want this. Well, how can I get that? Or, you know, when we look at suffering, the pain, it's not allowing yourself to be with it the way that it is. You always want it to be something different. So, well, I don't have my, you know, $5 million house. Okay. Or, you know, I can't pay my bills right now. Or, you know, all of those things. There's pain in that. And there's the dividedness is the component related to, well, it's not what I want, it's not what I deserve, and so therefore I think that it should be different.
Right. So talk real quick about the and everybody, and I liked how you guys started this out on your site is like, because all these people, a lot of people in these in the new age or whatever, you know what I mean? They all talking about these, you know, these colon cleanse and this kind of cleanse and that kind of cleanse. And so talk real quick about your brain cleanse.
Okay. So the brain cleanse, I'm going to do this right now. I'm going to compare a colon cleanse to a brain cleanse. Because we have a lot of shit in our heads that doesn't need to be there. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the reality of it. There's a whole lot of that, and that doesn't need to be there. And so, you know, it's like cleansing your colon. You got to cleanse your mind. You have thoughts. You have, you know, if we're going to take, and if we took 10 seconds right now or 15 seconds and said, don't think about something or just be, quiet your mind, you're going to have, well, what's he saying? Well, why is he saying it? What does this mean? Am I doing it? Is it working? Right, your brain.
How can I quiet my mind when there's a lawnmower going on outside? How can I?
Exactly. It never shuts off. And so the brain cleanse, which we've rolled into our achievement program, is actually the foundation of letting go of thoughts that don't support you, letting go of thoughts that you don't need. Your mind is like a computer. Eventually, you know, it can only run so many processes on the random access memory, your RAM, and, you know, your conscious mind. And so eventually it gets clogged up with shit. And you got to find some way to get that out. And so that's what the brain cleanse does. It's a tool. It's a resource. It's a system and a process that, again, Joe developed, you know, one of the other founders of the Superhuman Project, to help people get that crap out of their head. And it's amazing. Yeah. The first time I did it, I was astounded. I'm like, whatever, right? I'm pretty well focused. I get a lot of stuff done. I was amazed. I spent 20 minutes, and I was amazed by simply going through a simple process, which is, you know, writing your thoughts down, crossing things out, and categorization. It's as simple as that, and he walks you through it. How much clearer I was able to think, how much less stress I had, how much less anxiety of, well, I got to do this, 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 and just how much more, and this is the wild piece, how much more I was able to get done.
Right.
We've had people, you know, we have some testimonials about, you know, going through the brain cleanse process. You know, we gave it to people in high-stress situations, right? Joe did a ton of research on, you know, the focus and cleaning out your mind and creating the mental foundation for success in that space, you know, talking with people who work in some of the highest stress, you know, areas, you know, whether you're a, you know, an ER surgeon is one of the people that he was talking to and working with, on how to, you know, on how to think clearly and stay present. And when you go through that, and we tested it with people in stressful situations, you know, for their business, for their life, and they needing to do a lot quickly, the results have been fantastic simply by giving yourself permission to remove the thoughts that you don't need to be thinking. And you know, it's like, I want to say it's Henry Ford that said it. He was in a case a while back. Henry Ford, obviously the guy who created Ford Motor Company. He did something and he was in court and he was being, you know, they were saying that he was stupid. He wasn't worthy of, as a defamation case, and that he should not have been able to, you know, file a lawsuit. Anyways, so the point of the story is, he said, I don't need to know the answer to everything. I just know that I can push a button on my desk, and this was back in the days, right, early 1900s. I can push a button on my desk. Somebody will come to me, and I'll ask them a question, and they'll go get the information. I don't have to know everything. I just have to know to where to go get it. And and because of that, you know, I didn't know everything, but I knew where to go. And so as you're looking at cleaning out your mind and going through that process, you know, that's a great resource for you.
Well, yeah, and I now that you put it that way, you know, I worked at this fairly large size college, and it was one of those places, Ian, where you know a newcomer comes in, and you got a bunch of people that have been there since the building was erected in the 1960s, and you're like, well, why can't we do it like? Because that's the way we do it. You know what I mean? But in a place like that, you need to know who to go to get a miracle performed. And you also have to have the good people skills to make those people want to do those for you. But that was partly why I did such a great bunch of miracles for my boss at the time, because he was always expecting impossible stuff. And you know, I had great relationships with people all over the college, and so I could just go over there, crack a little joke for them, and go, I wonder if it would be possible to, you know, blah, 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 blah. And voila, you know, it would be achieved. And so that was part of it, was I had to know who to go to in that huge organization, not only what button to push, but how to push it. But, you know, nonetheless, that's half the battle right there for sure.
Well, it is. And we spent the time, the effort, the energy, and the resources to do the research. And, you know, I love the way you said push, you know, what buttons do you push? What levers do you pull, right? And so, you know, at the end of the day, you know, this isn't magic. It's science. Yeah. And so some people look at science as magic. And, you know, I do to some extent, because, you know, our thoughts are, like, one of these days I'm going to be able to throw fireballs. That's one of my dreams. But we just don't know how to do it yet. And so it is magic. It's magic in the sense that science is, it's not something that most people get. It's not something that most people know. And so when they look at this, and it's the results you're saying about, you know, the miracles. Miracles, you know, it's science on how humans are made, right? You know, the birth process, you know, the growth of a human. That's science, but that's also a miracle. And it's fantastic to look at the variety of miracles that we have in our world that most people just take for granted. And it's fascinating to be able to play. You know, I feel blessed to be able to play in the space of, you know, of research and development on accelerated learning, on, you know, life hacking and creating new, better, and more effective creative resources for being better humans. And it's, you know, and when I say better humans, people are like, well, am I not good enough? You know, my thought process is there's always something that we can be doing to be improving the state of the world, whether it's my life, the life of somebody else, or the way that the place is going to be left when I'm gone.
Right. Now, this brain cleanse, for example, is available at your site for free. People can sign up for your sign up over there and get that brain cleanse, or can they just click on that and get the brain cleanse?
So I think what we've done is they can go and they can sign up. The program that they'll sign up for is actually a walk them through a foundational process. I do believe that they're able to get the brain cleanse. I'll have to double check on that one. Actually, I think, no, they're not. We rolled that into a product because it made the most sense. We had them separate. What they're actually able to get now is there's some components of clearing your mind, but really what they get is they get tools and resources to create greater focus. And then the next step is, you know, they get the brain cleanse as well as a couple other things.
Okay, well, they got to fix that website then, buddy, because it's sort of saying, you know, get started with our free brain cleanse module.
I was looking at that. We just updated that last week.
Yeah.
You know, so if the link works, you know, I'll say it this way. If the link works, they use it, then they're going to get it.
Right. Yeah. No, I hear you. So people can go on over there to thesuperhumanproject.com check things out there. As Ian said before, you can get him at ian@thesuperhumanproject.com. And let me see how much time we have left here. Uh-oh, I lost my window. There we are. I can see. And so we're down. Yeah, we're down to a couple of minutes left. So I wanted to give you an opportunity to provide some sort of closing comments, remarks, leave our listeners with something to chew on, and just give the floor to you for a quick couple of minutes here to do that.
Yeah, well, I think I appreciate it. I mean, I've had a blast being on the phone. I talk all day long, and it's not often that I get the opportunity to speak to both people who are interested and people who are curious about the space of, well, what can we become? You know, I don't need the entire 5 minutes, but what I would say is if there's one thing that I would love to leave people with, it's really the idea that they're able to be and do and have whatever it is that they want. You know, if you're listening to this on your phone, on the computer, wherever it may be, and you want to go do something, just go do it. Because if you don't, you're never going to get the opportunity, the moment back. And when you get in rapport with your unconscious mind, when you get in the space where you're able to understand and have a joyous conversation with yourself that supports what you want to do, who you want to become, where you want to go, and how you want to become superhuman. Because how you want to become superhuman is maybe not how I want to be superhuman. So for me, it's business and it's success and it's helping change the world. Maybe for you, it's helping raise your child or be the best friend, the brother, the husband, or wife that you could be to somebody.
Right.
Small things make the biggest difference. It's not, I'm going to go buy you a jumbo jet. It's I'm going to smile at you. I would challenge you, and I'll end with this. I would challenge every single person to smile at somebody as they're walking down the street. And I would challenge every single person to not look at a baby that's really smiling and not feel better inside. I mean, when you have that authenticity coming from inside, as babies, they don't know, right? They haven't been broken yet. And so when you're able to look at them and there's just this, their big old eyes and this just smile that is exuding just exuberance and joy, right? We get that. We're connected to that. So give that away, because as you give, so shall you get.
Right. Yeah, that's great. That's awesome. And hey, we really appreciate your time today, and I'm sure that our listeners have enjoyed listening, and the ones that will listen later on in archives will also enjoy that. So thanks again, and it's been very, very pleasurable talking with you, Ian.
Awesome. Thank you, Chris. I had a fantastic time. I'm glad I was able
Thank
to come
you.
On the show.
Awesome. Take good care.
All right. You too. Bye.
All right. Okay. And so that's Ian Wynn, and you can find out more information about Ian and the Superhuman Project at www.thesuperhumanproject.com. And just to update for tomorrow, we have Nicole will be back here tomorrow on the Hourglass Brides program with Feng Shui. And she's got P.K. Odell coming by tomorrow to talk about Feng Shui, how to dress up Feng Shui style for romance and love in your life and relationship. And next Saturday, I believe that it's a stuntman coming on. And so we hope that you guys will tune back in here tomorrow to Hourglass Brides and next week to Unlimited Life. And so with that, I'd like to thank everybody for joining us. And take good care. We will talk to you guys next time.